Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris, and with me, as always, it's my co-host, RJ Sines.
Doctors cannot help me.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and did you know that more people die each year from falling vending machines than shark attacks?
Wow. Every year.
Every year.
And no one's afraid just to go right up to the snack machine. They just jump right in front.
Those two things have very different levels of fear.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of the snacks that come out.
You should be.
But man, oh man.
Well, the snacks that come out.
Could you imagine if they covered, like, you know how whenever there's a shark in like Newport Beach or something, they have like that aerial cam, be like, small sand shark spotted on the shores of Newport Beach.
Vending machine spotted at a hotel.
Vending machine here at the 7-Eleven. Looks like
looking wobbly.
Looking a little loose. Uh-oh.
I love that.
But it's like aerial footage, just like helicoptering over the 7-Eleven or like the stupid like Days Inn or whatever hotel.
Some guy's like, we'll take my
$100
bill.
That would be really, really tragic to see, though. Like, shark attack would be scary to see for sure.
Right.
But that vending machine crushing a human, man, oh man.
Well, there's not much drama. It just kind of happens.
There's not much struggle afterwards, unfortunately.
Today we're going to be talking about that one comedian who can't stop getting cars and coffee with other comedians. It's Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, we love Jerry.
He's the best one that we know. But before we get into that, RJ, what's happening in the world of comedy news?
Quick update for our Netflix special lovers. Rory Scovel tries stand-up for the first time is the name of Rory Scovel's first Netflix special.
There's no way that can't be his first time, right?
Well, like, it isn't his first time doing stand-up, obviously. Yeah, you get it. Yeah. Pretty funny. Ben, did you see it yet?
I haven't seen it. I don't even know who that is. Could you describe his face to me?
He has a beard. He's
Got
a little
it.
Taller, white.
He
he's on Conan a
oh,
lot.
Oh, he's white. I'm
yeah,
wrong.
A white guy. Yeah.
Is he kind of heavy?
No. I'd say he's like middle to normal. I don't know.
I'm going to do your catchphrase.
You're going to look it up?
Yeah.
Well, I talk about it. That's fine. So basically, his stand-up special is really good. He's got some really interesting ways to do like crowd work and like connect with the audience.
Oh, I totally know this guy.
I'm pretty sure he's the guy who did the bit on Conan. Like, oh yeah, you think my job's so hard? How about you come up here? He's yelling at the audience.
Yeah.
You come up here. He's like, yeah, I could do that. That's no problem. He comes up there. He's like, blah, blah, blah. I'm a stand-up comedian. Here's up. And Conan's like, what are you doing? Oh, shut up, Conan. We could do what you do. And they go over there. So anyways, his stand-up special has a lot of really funny bits. They talk about the OJ documentary Made in America.
Yeah.
He's got an amazing bit about the guy. He's like, OJ never did it. I swear. There's no way. He's like, that's the easiest guy to impersonate right there. I don't do a lot of impressions, but that guy, I don't think so. I know OJ. I haven't seen him in 50 years. A great guy. And he does an amazing TSA bit. I mean, I feel like every comedian has to have a TSA bit. But his revolves around the idea that the next time you go to, like, the x-ray, like, cute, like, swirly machine.
Yeah.
He said, go in there and, like, get on your hands and, like, get on a knee, like, stance and be like, Los Angeles, 2045. And then, like, look up and make and then as the machine spins around, come be like, did it work? What year is it? It's like you'll instantly get like
that's so
pulled
good.
Aside, questioned.
That's really good.
Yeah, and probably my favorite opening of any stand-up special, just because of its sheer absurdity. He walks out on stage and everyone's like, woo! He's like, all right, who's done anal?
Oh, no.
And then continues to ask the question, who's done anal?
Oh, gosh.
For like 2 minutes. And it's that thing. Like, I know that feeling of getting out, like that awkward, like, oh, what is that? But after it keeps going and going and going, it's that joke that now has become so ridiculous that it's like,
it's funny.
It's funny again. It's just asking.
Man.
And he's like, no, I'm serious. There's no stand-up comedy. I just want to know who here has
oh my
done
gosh.
This.
That's so good. Bad.
Good, bad, indeed.
Are those the news?
That's our stand-up special. You got to go check it out. I highly, highly recommend it.
Highly recommended by RJ.
10 out of 10 Scovels.
Well, that means we're getting into our topic. We're talking about Jerry Seinfeld, one of my personal heroes.
I think a lot of ours, to be honest.
In the philanthropy world.
Philanthropy?
Yeah. No, in the comedian world. Let me give you a little brief history background on who this man is, if you've lived under a rock for the 90s. While attending Queens College in the 1970s, Jerome Allen Seinfeld was the kid from Brooklyn just trying his best to get an open mic if he could. That's Jerry in a nutshell.
That's it.
After graduation, he landed an appearance on the Rodney Dangerfield special in 1981, and then he got to perform on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Jerry would continue to do stand-up and eventually bond with comedian Larry David over the smallest possible issues. Those issues would evolve into 9 of the most successful seasons in television history and turn Seinfeld into a household name. So good.
But that's the funny thing, and I'm glad we're talking about Jerry today, because he is, like, you cannot separate the show from his namesake.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, that's, you know, could be argued his downfall, because he is a tremendous stand-up comedian. And that's right. What we're here to talk about today, his comedy. But the show really does bleed so much of his comedy. And, you know, we're going to get into more of that, but I just love that, yes, Jerry is Seinfeld, but he's also Jerry.
Yeah.
And
they are one and the same.
They really are.
Not to be confused with our Seinfeld episode. We've already done a Seinfeld episode.
We have. Episode number 002.
00002.
The same one. Pretty good.
Crazy.
But then, the real question is not what episode number is our Seinfeld episode.
That's not the real question?
I don't think so. Okay. What is the question today?
The question is, why is it funny, RJ?
Well, I will tell you why it's funny, Ben.
Absolutely.
And not just it, but Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld took the godlike wonder from the great comedians like Carlin and Pryor, and he created an act that didn't talk down to his audience, but met them there. He bridged the gap between vintage and modern comedian in a lot of ways. He paved the way for the postmodern comedian with the style of the quote-unquote everyday guy who can focus in on life's intricacies with pinpoint accuracy. Jerry is one of the greats because he's so accessible. Anyone can relate to him, all the while feeling like perhaps they were the only ones who felt the same way he did. He has jokes down to a science, and if you pay close enough attention, you just might figure out the formula. Wink.
Bada bing. But then he might switch it on you and just burn your ass.
Wait, what?
I feel like, yeah, you're right. You can, like, totally pick apart him and find his formula. But, I don't know, nowadays when I watch, like, his, like, latest specials, he knows his formula, so yeah. Then he flips it on its head.
Yeah, and so that's what I mean, especially when a part of this thesis talking about, like, him bridging the gap between vintage and modern comedian and making it so accessible. I'm not talking about necessarily accessibility for the audience as understanding what the joke formula is, but for other stand-up comedians trying to understand how to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Oh, you have this idea, mm-hmm. and you take this idea and plug it into this formula to make this joke happen. The premise, the twist, the whatever,
yeah.
The funny banter. And I think that's something that has definitely made him on my Hall of Fame, is because, like I said, he's taken something that, how could we ever do what Pryor and Carlin does? And he's like, it's okay. You just talk about peanuts.
Like this.
You just say it again and again. That's a terrible over-the-top impression of him, especially when I'm trying to talk highly of Jerry.
Right?
But it's the only one I know, so I'm sorry.
I feel like Jerry has this amazing rarity of being very timeless.
Yeah.
Like, when I was, there was a stint where I was doing wedding videography, making videos for weddings, right?
Oh.
That was really tough because you have to think about the fact that these people are going to watch these videos 50, 60 years in the future, right?
Probably not.
Maybe. Probably not. You're
we
right.
would hope.
Well, probably for the first time 50, 60 years later.
Yeah.
Because they're going to forget about it and then watch it later. But you want it to be timeless. You don't want something that goes, oh my gosh, that effect was so 1997, right?
Right.
So you want it to be very timeless. You just do classic. And that's what Jerry Seinfeld, is.
Yeah.
His stand-up. Hit, like, we just watched his debut stand-up on HBO.
Right, 1981.
Like, not a lot of things in 1981 are the same as they were, like, now as they were then. But what he's talking about is still accessible.
Exactly.
He's talking about socks.
Socks, slippers, malls, pockets, like weather.
Yeah. It's just very, very timeless things that are still funny today.
Yeah. And a lot of his comedy, I think you could put into three categories. Like, universally inside, outside of time. Like, you don't double dip the chip.
Right.
Like that, no matter what point in history you're in, you don't
double dip the chip.
You don't double dip anything. Anything with a sauce, you can't do that. It's just wrong. And that is inside, outside of time. Of course, there's probably an area in time where there aren't sauces, and I don't know why anyone would want to live there. But then there's another category where I would call that, like, just within, like, the 20, you know, turn of the century kind of comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 60s to early 2000s kind of, you know, TV, weather, malls, family.
Yeah.
Like, those things, not a lot has changed. But then the very specific, right, when he's talking about, you know, pen cap covers or whatever, the pocket protectors.
Yeah.
No one has a pocket protector anymore, Jerry. Yeah. But, you know, that's fine because he doesn't fill his whole special or fill all of his stand-up time with specific 1989 references.
Right.
So
he did a really good bit one time, which is, it's timeless just now because it's history, but about the Nazis, where he's talking about the Heil, and he's like, you know, they had the regular Heil when you're out and about, it's like extended arm, but then they had like the casual Heil, like the just like kind of arm by your side, flip in the air, like, oh yeah, Heil, how you doing? So good.
That's so perfect. And I think another interesting aspect of Jerry's material is you could call it clean, right? Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think I would say that he's always clean. Like, there's definitely some parts where, you know, he curses or whatever. Sure. But I think the interesting thing with Jerry's material is he's always trying to present material at its purest form.
Mm-hmm.
And I read I watched an interview with him talking about that, specifically about profanity. And he said, if the joke is only funny because you're adding a curse word to it, it's not a funny joke.
Yeah.
And you know, he is one to stand by his standards.
Absolutely.
For sure. Because I watched a few of his specials and there's only like a handful of curse words here or there. But the way he presents material, especially even the Nazis, mm-hmm. right? Notoriously the worst group of humans to ever face the earth. He presents them in a goofy, lighthearted way.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think you see comedians like Gaffigan mm-hmm. follow suit. I mean, Gaffigan doesn't talk about anything controversial. And
bye.
Yeah, very well. It's all very controversial in the amount he talks about it. Yeah,
hot pockets.
But
no,
but yeah,
you're so right. Like, even there's only one episode of Seinfeld that has a curse word in it, and it actually doesn't really, like, when it aired, it was bleeped. But it's not like, it's not out of context. It's not just like Jerry going, "Oh, f." It's. The reason it's funny is because he says it in front of a kid, and then that kid is now like repeating it, and like he has to go like apologize
That's
to the
right.
mom, and then it happens again later in the episode where he like stubs his toe or something in front of the kid. But like, it's not, he said the F word and that's funny.
Yeah,
it's grown adults using curse words in front of kids. That's a funny situation.
Totally
different, right?
Yeah.
Than just cursing.
And that's, and that still again follows his philosophy. The curse word isn't what makes it funny.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is that you shouldn't say certain types of words in front of children,
right?
And you just did now. Mm-hmm. And you have to fix that problem. And I mean, so we kind of covered like a lot of his core of stand-up, but you know, let's get into his real contribution to society. Seinfeld.
Absolutely.
Which like we've already stated, is not that much of a stretch from his material.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
The guy wrote and created. He's starring. Typically, when a artist is starring in something that they created, it's because they really are trying to drive their point home.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Seinfeld becomes a little less timeless than his act and his material, but that's just simply because it's a TV show. You have to eventually get into, right, like, you know, cell phones and
well, and they, and because of the universe that they, that Seinfeld existed in, was a time restrained place.
Yeah,
right. It all, it, they had to, they couldn't just deal with more universal comedy, because there was so much more specific things going on in 1990s New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or 1980s. My bad. 1980s New York. Is that right? When did Seinfeld run?
The 90s. Yeah, it was all 90s.
90s. 90s New York. And so I think that's, you know, they play to that perfectly. But one of the interesting things about Seinfeld is how it's been able to stand the test of time, right? There's so many, yeah, there's still so many episodes that are the top kind of comedy still because it translates.
Right. Yeah. I said less timeless, not timeless. You know, if you watch, what should you watch? What's like another, like Family Matters or another 90s, Full House. Friends. Freaking Full House.
Yeah.
If you watch Full House and Seinfeld, Full House is way more saturated in 90s culture than Seinfeld is. Seinfeld is timeless culture. It has a little bit of that where it, where if you watch it now, you're like, well, they don't have that massive
phone. That's a big phone. Yeah.
But Seinfeld is way more timeless than it is,
right,
not.
And I think, I mean, we've talked about this on our Seinfeld episode, but so much of the comedy, you know, at its core has those little issues that bother Jerry, mm-hmm, and Larry.
Larry.
But,
oh.
You're like, who's Larry?
He's not on the show.
But what I think still keeps the ball rolling into this day and age is the character relationships,
mm-hmm,
right? The character dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus, like, I've just finished watching last season of Veep.
Yeah.
And it made me even more just be like, I gotta go back and rewatch some of her best episodes.
Absolutely.
She just kills it.
She's
and,
really funny.
And the dynamic she has with the three other guys, like, is just so funny. I'm like, they could have made it like Elaine Benz becomes vice president in Veep, like, and I would have believed it just because of how dominant of a character,
yeah,
she is.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the way that that Jerry and Larry made these characters work, I think that adds to the timelessness.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's way less about what is actually going on and more about like the way that these characters interact with what's going on.
Right. And something else that I think has come back through the years is the way he ended Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like totally a comedian's decision.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
We've talked about it a couple times before. But for those of you who aren't familiar, the show ended. I mean, one of the most successful television shows in history, at the highest peak of the Nielsen ratings,
mm-hmm,
which is like TV speak for 5 out of 5 stars. And then Jerry decides, we're done. We're not doing any more shows. We're retiring the show. And people were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I mean, you kind of throw in the fact that the finale wasn't that great. It's one of the most controversial endings of a series, sure, just because it wasn't that good.
I think it's perfect. I mean, in retrospect, if you're a Seinfeld fan in the 90s, you're pissed.
Yeah.
Because your show is ending and this is the way they ended it. My favorite characters are just in jail.
That's true.
But it's perfect for the show. It's like these friggin' idiots get what they deserve.
In my opinion, if the only way that I would have wanted to see it differently is if they just did a regular episode. Like a normal, like, there's,
yeah,
no, because the story, the season of the series of Seinfeld isn't like, beginning we have Jerry and let's,
right,
watch his,
yeah,
journey through,
yeah,
life and the growth, because again, no hugs, no learning,
yeah, no,
and
one's expecting Lost season 6,
yeah, yeah, no one's expecting the very end, like, wow, they really got to tie up all these storylines,
exactly. Really hope Newman gets from A to B.
Who's driving the bus, like all that kind of stuff. I think if they just did a regular, like, amazing episode, no one would complain.
You think?
I think
people would complain.
I think you're right, because everyone complained in the 90s. Like, our favorite show is going on.
Yeah, it's doomed for people to be upset, not because of the quality, but just because it's ending.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that.
But anyways, people were upset, and he just said, nope, it was time. I knew it was time. And he's had so many interviews since then. He was just like, you got to quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, that was his decision even in the middle of the show. He said, I'd rather end on a high note than like be forgotten and kind of burn out.
And we'll use this philosophy. I will use that philosophy for so many things in my creative endeavors. But we're hopefully in the next few episodes going to be doing an episode on comedy sequels.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like 100%. Why is this happening? We do, you know, is there any reason at all that we need to dig up all these old jokes and characters just for money? Is that why we're doing this? But I think for the amount of series revivals there have been, you know, Will and Grace, Roseanne, other TV show that I can't think of at the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
They will never bring back Seinfeld.
Oh, no way.
Never.
I mean, the like Seinfeld Curb reunion episodes, there's just two episodes where they kind of do this little reunion. That's as close as you'll ever get.
Ever. Jerry, I will never, ever, ever do that. For that reason, because the second you bring in Seinfeld reunion, season, series, one special, whatever, mm-hmm. it can taint anything else that came before it. And I think Arrested Development is a perfect example of that.
That's true.
Three amazing seasons. Amazing that they get a revival. They're going to go to Netflix. First TV series on Netflix. Or revival TV series anyways. Totally different show. Totally disappoints. I mean, sure, there's some good comedy, and I honestly enjoyed the story of it all, but it wasn't as funny as the previous three.
Yeah, I know.
And it taints the image of those. So, I don't know. Good on Jerry for walking out when he did. And I think that does show so much of his ability to understand comedic timing.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows it better than him, in my mind. Even from, I mean, looking at the way the show works, the rhythm, the timing, the jokes per minute. I don't know if we've ever talked about jokes per minute on the show. Have I talked to you about this?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit.
I'm sure I've talked about it.
When we talk about 30 Rock with Suzu when it comes
to that. 30 Rock is when I talk about jokes per minute. I'm pretty sure there's a guy on the Daily Beast who calculates the average joke per minute. And I think in the top 10 of episodes on television where the jokes of jokes per minute of all time, like number 5 or something is The Contest.
Okay.
Like 5.6 jokes per minute.
Okay.
And I think number 1 is the season 3 premiere of Rick and Morty.
Really?
9 jokes per minute.
Oh my gosh.
And mind you, these aren't hilarious jokes per minute, it's attempted jokes per minute.
Yeah.
Which is funny because in my mind, I'm like, I feel like things that aren't funny would have more jokes per minute. But if you look at the jokes per minute like catalog, you'd notice a trend. These are all actually really funny, really award winning, really critically acclaimed television shows. Maybe there's something here. The jokes
per
minute.
Well, the more shots you put up, the more you make.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Unless you're
Wayne
blind.
Gretzky, Michael Scott. but anyways,
so yeah, that leads perfectly into his next endeavor, which was a couple years later, but perfect for Jerry Seinfeld, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Oh, I thought you were talking about B movie.
Yeah,
because let's get real. He does Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
Very successful, and he kind of goes off the grid. He has a HBO special shortly thereafter.
Well,
like,
I think he's just doing stand up everywhere.
Yeah, he's doing stand up. He tours every year. Yeah. But he did an HBO special, like, you know, My Last Words, or I'm Only Gonna Say This Once, like, kind of a thing. But then, I think, 2000, okay, I'm gonna look it up while I say it. 2000 blank, they did B-movie. And, you know what? It was 2007. It was not good. it was opposite of everything Jerry's ever produced. And I honestly haven't looked into it as to, like, what happened, but the weirdest thing has happened this year, even in the last 6 months. It has made a memetic revival on the internet.
B-movie?
Yes. It's everywhere. Have you not seen these videos where it's like B movie, but every time they say the word B, it speeds up 50%?
Yeah, I have seen that.
Like, there's stuff like that all over. And I've seen like weird, bizarre memes that always have the B movie guy in there. But anyways.
I've seen B movie with no words. Yeah. It's like every time it's about to say something, it cuts to the next time that it's no words.
And that's what I mean by memetic internet revival. Like, it's not, there's not like a two-dimensional meme of Jerry's bee like, hey, I'm a bee, and you give it to your friend. No, it's like just an internet craze for this bee movie that is, I have no reason why.
Well, I think that's due to its unsuccess. What was it?
It was an animated film about a bee.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying who's your audience?
Oh.
They didn't know. It's Jerry Seinfeld, adults, and bee movie kids, right?
Jerry doesn't translate well for kids.
It's like you don't really have a target audience in that situation. You have Jerry who brings in adults and kids who don't get Jerry's jokes.
Yeah.
So it's like it was a product or a failure of its lack of direction.
Right.
But that's where that always ends up on the internet. If you're a failure of lack of direction, you're going to end up on the internet.
You're made so true. If you've made, and this day and age especially, if you have made a mistake ever in your life,
ever,
the internet will find you and abuse the hell out of you. I feel bad because it's like the B movie has become such a like recurring joke, especially in today's world. Whereas 3 years ago, everyone forgot about B movie. I forgot about B movie. You said B movie.
It's not that bad.
No.
And here's the other thing.
No, yeah, you're right. It's not
Jerry
that bad.
Jerry doesn't care.
No.
It's not affecting his coin purse at all.
I guarantee you he's getting more money because of it.
Because of the memes.
Because of the ads, because of the memes, because people then have to download the movie to get the footage to make the meme videos, all that kind of stuff.
I don't think that's a big
market. I'm sure it doesn't bother him, especially when he's, you know, alone at night, think of all his success and his, you know, pools of money.
Okay, but besides B-movie, what I was going to say what's perfect for Jerry Seinfeld is Comedians in Cars getting coffee with Comedians in Cars.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And I love that such a different premise to so much of Jerry's comedy. It's different and similar at the same time. Dimmler, if you will. But it's him just talking to a friend, typically someone he knows. There's some episodes, especially as the series goes on, where it's people he's not really talked to that much.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part...
Kevin Hart.
Yeah. But for the most part, it's really interesting to see him just connect as a human.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it was, oh, this is Jerry the comedian. Oh, this is Jerry on a TV show who's also a comedian, mm-hmm. ironically enough. But I love that he's able to pull those interesting stories and philosophies out of these
comedians. It's the summation of everything we've been talking about. Jerry loves comedy. Mm-hmm. Jerry loves, like, dissecting and talking about making comedy accessible.
You're so right.
Exactly like what you said. And that's all it is. It's him sitting down with Brian Regan saying, that's a funny joke. Why is it funny?
Mm.
It's almost as if it's this podcast.
Hey, Jerry. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. Don't mind if I plop down right here in front of the mic.
Comedians in a sweaty room talking into microphones with no coffee.
If I ever got to interview Jerry Seinfeld, I would just have a heyday. But I think he would hate it. Like, I don't...
Oh,
I don't
he
know
would if, absolutely hate it. Haven't you seen him trying to hug Kesha?
I was about to... Well, he's not a hugger. And neither am I. So we'd get along really
absolutely
well.
Absolutely, you would.
But this is what my real dream is for Jerry and I at some point. I want him
for your
to
relationship
want to talk to me. I don't want to talk to him. Don't get me wrong. Like, I understand that he'd be like, oh, yeah, ask me a couple questions. I only got 5 minutes, buddy.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I want him to be like, hey, he's got some interesting things to say.
You want him to want to talk to you.
Yeah, even just like, you know, just a little, maybe come on the pod. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That'd be pretty excellent.
That'd be crazy. A girl can dream. No, but, okay, so Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee has been Jerry's revival. Easily.
Sure.
This has been...
I don't think he ever left, but
well,
yeah.
Okay, as far as from the public eye, right? So in the stand-up world, Jerry is a clear constant, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as, you know, coming back into TV mm-hmm. and starting his new series. I think that's, it's been tremendously successful and has manufactured some of the most interesting little conversations ever. And it's all 22 minute episodes. The ones with Don Rickles, the ones with, what's his name? Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And Michael Richards. Those are some of my favorite things to watch. I've seen them each at least three times just because it's so amazing to see that friendship captured. And those moments of genuinity.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's quintessential Seinfeld.
And kind of going off that, I mean, we've talked before about his Netflix deal.
That it's coming up, right? It hasn't happened yet.
I think, gosh, memory serves, it happened back in February, and he signed like a $100 million deal to like help produce comedy specials and help create new comedic content and then do some specials.
Yeah.
Which would be the first special that he's done in quite some time.
Absolutely. We got our eyes open for that.
Anyways, anything else you want to add to his...
That's what we got for Jerry.
His post-success, his post-Seinfeld success. The question is, Ben, where does he go from here?
Where does he go from here?
He's got the Netflix thing lined up. What's he going to do next?
More jokes. he's going to do the same thing with Netflix, what he did with Comedians in Cars. He's going to promote other comedians, help them out, and he's going to make more jokes on with specials and stuff.
I'm not kidding you. I would attend the Jerry Seinfeld School of Comedy.
Oh, man. I'd plop down upwards of $600,000 to go to that. That'd be rad. Are you kidding?
To apply.
To go to his house.
Yeah, just to go to his house.
Here's $600,000.
Well, and I feel like he could do such a good job, like, in my opinion, like making this kind of doctrine of comedy and kind of stepping back, like not even necessarily being a hands-on teacher, but like giving people the ability who can teach to work with this material.
How old is he?
58? 60,
almost 60. I say give him 10 years and that will happen.
Well, they just had that that masterclass thing.
With Steve Martin.
And I looked at that and I said, I want to do that. Absolutely. And I haven't done it. So, oh gosh, congratulations. Customer, your iPhone is randomly selected.
Why are you reading your emails right now?
I'm not. I got a pop-up on my iPhone. Have you ever got a pop-up on your iPhone that said, congratulations, you won a thing?
Easy, Jerry.
I know. I searched You're Jerry being so Seinfeld. Accessible.
Well, you know what that means.
I think it's time for us to...
That sound is a very clear indicator that it's time for Ben's wacky facts. This is the part of the show where I say some wacky facts. RJ goes to google.com and then searches wacky tomatoes, and then they give us their rating that was pre-screened, and we take the average. It's like Rotten Tomatoes, but RJ's never heard of that, so it's not like that at all.
It's actually not a website, so don't go there.
Google.com is not a website?
No, Wacky Tomato is not a thing.
Well, I never said it was the website.
It's the name that you've coined, which is fine, but honestly, it's just a bunch of critics adequately rating the freshness of our jokes. Also, he's 63. Jerry's 63.
Cool, cool, cool. I knew he was older than 60. He had his 60th birthday, and then I was like, shed a tear or something.
Did you get invited?
No.
Didn't get the invite, huh?
TFTI, Jerry.
Basic bit.
All right, here's wacky fact number one. Jerry was the first ever recipient of the American Express Black Card.
Ooh.
Ever. Anyone ever.
That's cool.
More than Richard Branson.
Wow. Well, he doesn't even need cards.
Yeah, I know, right?
He just has like his
flip
hand.
A bird that he gets paid for.
I'm Richard effing Branson! I'm in a spaceship! It's my Johnny Depp, actually.
what kind of rating was on that fact?
Let's look it up. Okay, beep, so beep, boop, very beep, wacky. Beep, beep. That's a solid 80% wacky. Congrats, Ben.
That's
very wacky.
Fresh?
It's just wacky. 80% wacky.
A wacky and not wacky.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Here is wacky fact number two. He has a collection of more than 500 sneakers that are all white.
How do you get a black card?
What?
How do you get the American Express black card?
I think you have to have like a cash flow of over like $100,000 a year.
I can't believe you know that. That's amazing.
Or $200,000 a year.
That's really crazy. I had no idea.
Hey, man, you got to do research for these facts. You can't just like plop him down.
That's fair. All his shoes are white?
Jeez, God, man, you're jumping all around. Yes, he has a collection of over 500 sneakers that are all white.
I am not surprised.
Right? I mean, that's like broadcasting, I'm vanilla.
That's like, I want something that says I'm the whitest guy in the world.
Mr. Seinfeld, we have 500 white sneakers for you.
I'll take them.
I also love that it's a collection. Like this is something that he actually cares about.
50% with laces?
It might just be a joke.
50% Velcro.
Like, I think this could be, like, at the end, like, he'll be like, it was just all a joke.
Or, like, he'll do this in his next special. He's like, I've got 500 pairs of white sneakers because I don't know how white I am. I need something to bring me back to my roots. Actually, he's
Jewish.
Half Lithuanian, I think.
Sure.
Oh, gosh, I'm going to ruin that. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I need to check now.
No. Check the website. What does the website say for freshness? I mean, wackiness.
Hungarian. Oh. wow, that's very wacky. That you got a 95%. Critics gave that 95? A 95. All right.
It's almost as good as Borat got.
But one of the reviews said, what else would you expect? So...
That's a good reviewer. Here is wacky fact number 3. Jerry Seinfeld has a compulsive habit. He has a compulsive habit of throwing out every pair of clothes that he travels with after each road trip.
What?
So, if he goes on the road and he wears a pair of clothes, they get thrown out when he gets back.
That's crazy.
Right?
When he gets back. So if he goes on a month,
after the summation of the trip,
he throws out
everything that he took.
All of his clothes. Is he a germaphobe?
Absolutely.
I mean, I didn't know that he was like quote unquote germaphobe.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty.
I know he's picky.
It's pretty nonspecific in Seinfeld, but it's there. You can find it. There's one. I think Kramer calls him a Nazi. He mentions that he's a clean freak germaphobe. Yeah, remember the episode where he drops the toothbrush in the toilet brush? Or toothbrush in the toilet bowl?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go after that either.
No. It's not just that. It's he drops the toothbrush in the toilet bowl. He gets it out. The girlfriend brushes her teeth with it. And then he can never kiss her again.
Again, that's right.
Even after she like mouthwashes and everything. Like he just can't.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, I don't know. There's part of me that, like, agrees with that, but also, like, I've, like, subconsciously, like, ended up brushing my teeth and being like, oh, wait, this was on the ground. Dang it.
You kiss your dog, and your dog drinks out of the toilet bowl.
Closed mouth. And he does not drink out of the toilet bowl.
I'm just kidding.
We fixed that problem.
Calm down. Those are the wacky facts.
Yeah, we'll see that rating.
Oh, yeah, let's spoil this the rating.
Oh, that one got a solid 94. Woo-hoo! Wow. Very intra. I didn't know he was that. I mean, I knew he was germy, but I didn't know he was that nuts. Germy.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Which makes me wonder, how many clothes do you think he's given away over the years?
I hope he's
given
them away.
Or does he just throw them away?
I hope he gives them away.
He seems like
that's a lot of waste.
Yeah.
I'm not even that big on like waste, like protecting waste, but like that's the waste. That's just straight waste.
I would read a book written by Jerry that is just a list of things that are rules for him. Like, I never wear the same clothes twice in the same week. I always throw away clothes after a tour. I never drink from the same cup without it being washed twice. Like, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I won't look
those
a person...
Those are rules you want to live by?
I won't look a person in the eyes unless I know who they are and they have some kind of monetary value in my mind.
Oh my gosh. There's no way he's like
Oh, now
that.
I'm just thinking of my list. Sorry.
Well, he has a couple books. He's got sign language.
That's good.
You read it?
Yes.
You got... He didn't write that. He didn't write that either. Sign off? Inside... The finale of Seinfeld. Oh, the final days of Seinfeld. That's interesting. But I'm pretty sure in sign language he talks about his little mannerisms and stuff. Anyway, that means now we are on to our next part of the show, which is hashtag meh. Let me get that again, guys. The next part of the show is hashtag whale mail of the week.
Third time's a charm.
Every time.
Okay. This week's whale mail reads, thank you for the Mean Girls podcast. That's my favorite movie. Loved it. Loved Tina Fey. Stop trying to make Napoleon Dynamite happen. It's not going to happen. I think that's at Wonder or Ultra Woman.
Wonder Ultra.
Also, Wacky Tomatoes sounds so much better than the baseball references, which I could never understand. Please do record a podcast for Baby Driver, especially Jamie Foxx's role. Or maybe just do a podcast where you talk about some hilarious scenes from movies that aren't necessarily intended to be funny. Can't wait for more pods. Love, Mahi. P.S. Which one of you does the nose laughs? Because that makes me laugh even more. It makes whatever you guys have just said even more funny somehow. What's a nose laugh?
Little nose laughs?
Do you nose laugh?
I have a very nasally voice, so maybe that's what it is.
I mean, you laugh more than me in general because you're a happier person.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to assume it's you.
Because you're depressed 95%
of
the time.
But if you get me laughing, I have snorted a couple.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
In the
that's a
past,
nose laugh.
In the future. Anyways, thank you so much for the email, Mahi. This is really great because I had no idea that you liked Mean Girls. But now, you know what? It almost seems like a direct gift just for you.
Yeah, it's an international phenomenon.
Millions of other listeners.
Thank you for writing in, Mahi.
Yeah,
you're part of the show.
I think that would be interesting to do a podcast about
on Mahi.
You know, on the scenes from movies that aren't necessarily.
Yeah, no, that's a really good
intended to be funny
request.
I feel like that. Yeah, we could.
It's kind of like a little bit of Guardians. You know, Guardians isn't technically specifically billed as a comedy. It's billed as a superhero movie, but it has so many good comedic points that we had to do it. But yeah, there is like really good movies scenes that are hilarious, even though the summation of the movie isn't for comedy, like trying
right,
to be comedy.
Right, exactly. Gosh, I'm just trying to think, like the research would just be out of sight. Nail down movies that aren't billed as comedy, then find like, oh, mm-hmm. Today we're talking about the scene from Ocean's 11 where it's Brad Pitt eating some chips.
I think you could even do like a lot of Tarantino has like where it's like very dark and serious subject matter, but like say goodbye to your, say a vida zen to your nutty balls. Like there's like a lot of levity in depravity.
That's good.
Right? Because it's like... Cause it's
quote us on that.
Because it's like very, very dark, serious things that are happening, but like...
Why am I laughing? There's levity in depravity.
I would love that if that became our tagline.
If that was something that people wore on t-shirts mm-hmm. or got tattooed across their neck. I would do that.
It like burned into a T-bone steak on their neck.
Anyways, thanks, Molly, for the recommendations. Glad you like the Wacky Tomatoes. Copyright limited time.
So, RJ, if people are looking to find us, where should they be headed?
Oh, right. Yeah, you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. Also, be sure to go to our Patreon website. You can get so much more content. We have our warm-ups. You can get pre-released episodes before anybody else. So much more. Check it out. There's little like $1 rewards. It's awesome. Also, we're part of the PodTyrant Network. As you all know, go to PodTyrant.com or GeekTyrant.com to hear more awesome podcasts about movies, TV shows, popular culture, Nerds and Nostalgia, Screen Watchers Guild, stuff for movie buffs. They've got some great pods.
Absolutely.
Also, check out our Twitter page, at WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And don't forget to email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. All these links are at the bottom of our show descriptions. Just quick links to websites, pages, our email. Email's so easy. You send in a thing, we read the words. It's that simple. Some people have recommendations. Some people have critiques. Some people have wordy anecdotes about their life story.
Some women are ultra.
Some don't tell us their power set, and we'll never know. Anyways.
But that's our show for this week. We got to leave you with what we always leave you
with. That's weird. You haven't said where they can find me on Twitter.
Oh, RJ. If you want to find RJ on Twitter, you follow him at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you can find Ben at Twitter, you could probably find
if
him.
You can.
If you can. You can find him at Toothbrush in the Toilet Bowl Mouth.
We're going to leave you with what we always leave you with, and that is comedy is all about...
depravity.
Depravities.